What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valenti and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Saints Hour. Mike Haas, along with Saints Executive Vice President and General Manager Mickey Loomis. The Saints in Week 3 host Philadelphia, but fall 15-12, still 2-1 on the season, and a couple of big ones coming up. They all are at Atlanta on Sunday and then at Kansas City on Monday night. And Mickey, when this team was 1-0 and 2-0 and 2-1, it's perspective. It's a 17 game season filled with highs and lows, and it's just perspective and how you take the highs and how you handle the lows, correct?
Well, that's true. Obviously. You have a better feeling after you get a win, even though you know that there's corrections to be made and, you know, things weren't perfect. And I think sometimes it's hard to recognize that same thing after a loss. But it was a heavyweight fight type of game against a really good team. And look, we had our chances and just couldn't close the deal.
And that's the tough part about it, because it's a loss. Doesn't matter if it was 52-50 or 15-12. And, you know, there's takeaways. There are a lot of positives. You held them to 15. You get two turnovers. I know Dennis speaks a lot about turnover on downs, and two of those and the blocked punt, I guess. The inability, I guess, to capitalize on some of those things. It was tough sledding, right?
Yeah. I mean, typically I think we got two turnovers. We got, I think, two fourth down stops. The block punt, you know, those things typically lead to about, 80-90% winner. And so when you don't get the win after those kinds of events, that makes it doubly hard to swallow.
And the same with the explosive plays, right? Something this team had not had issues with early on. Again, early on, it's been two games, but had not had issues with, but just the explosive plays that Philly was able to come up with.
Yeah, look, let's give them credit. They've got some really good players. They've got they're well coached. They have guys that can make explosive plays, and a couple of them did.
Yeah, and we're not going to spend a wealth of time talking about that, but I do want to talk about their defensive tackles, right? Because if these guys were wide receivers, and you're the 13th overall pick in 22, Jordan Davis, or the 9th overall pick in 23, I mean, that's hefty areas for defensive tackles. But those guys, and even Dennis said, I mean, you never want to lose the battle up front, but that was a very tough. Those two were very tough to overcome, especially when you lose Eric McCoy on the third play.
Yeah. Look, they're good players and they had their A game going you mentioned it, we lost Eric. And so we had some shuffling on the front line I know Caesar was dealing with a few things as well. So, they had a good game, but look, sometimes that happens and you have to overcome it. And look, there was a lot of good things that we did on offense. It wasn't like it was a game where there was nothing good that happened on offense. And I thought, our guys did a great job of having a late drive when we had to have it to take the lead. That was fantastic. Great play by Derek and the other guys on offense. I thought Chris Olave had a really good game as well. So there were a lot of really positives, but it just doesn't feel that way, after you lose.
What can you tell us about Eric McCoy's situation moving forward?
Yeah, I think he's got an injury. It's going to require some time, and how much time remains to be seen. But it's going to be a little while.
And clearly this team, because you didn't know going into the season, you know, even back in the spring, Ryan Ramczyk's situation, but it felt like, and it, you know, it, that offensive line in general, focus point, Lucas Patrick, Shane Lemieux, Ali Udoh, Kyle Hergel. I mean, you know, you can, I'm assuming, you know, you can never have enough depth on the offensive line, but, and this was an area that, your team and the personnel department really, really attacked hard in the offseason.
Yeah, look, I think our guys have done a great job of identifying offensive linemen that can help us. And look, in this day and age of football, you're going to need those guys. And you know, James Hurst was a guy that we signed, you know, a few years back, you know, primarily to be our sixth lineman, and ended up starting a lot of games for us and playing really well. And you know, Lucas Patrick is kind of in that same mold. He's a veteran player that's had a lot of starts in his career, and you know, has come in and you know, did a really good job at left guard for us, and move over to center. You know, after Eric's injury, and they're just valuable guys to have.
And most recently, this has been kind of the norm, but the ability, because we probably don't give enough credit for what Lucas Patrick did, right? Left guard, all of a sudden you're taking snaps, which he probably took some, but not a lot in that week. But the ability of the today's offensive lineman, Udo, that can play guard and tackle, Shane Lemieux, that can play guard and center, the multi-positions is almost mandatory now, isn't it, or very close to it?
Yeah, I think that's dictated a lot by, you know, the limitations we have on the roster, not just the 53 man roster, but also the game day active roster. You know, you can bring eight linemen to a game, and so you know, the more versatile guys you can have in those backup roles, then the better off you are.
So, as we get into the season, and your practice squad, you know, you have 17 guys on the practice squad. I think four offensive linemen, Deculus, Ezeerum, Hergel, and Lemieux. What's the pool like there? Because, I mean, Atlanta lost two offensive linemen on Sunday night. Don't know their status, and we'll know more this week, but Lane Thomas. So, I mean, what's the pool out there? Is it just about, hey, man, maybe we can get some depth if you have to go out there? I'm not saying you are. I'm just saying, what's the market look like after week three?
Yeah, I would say it's pretty thin because – you just mentioned it. There was a number of offensive line injuries, not just this last weekend, but in the prior two weekends. So that pool of players has been depleted. Now, the good news is that, look, you mentioned the guys that we have on our practice squad that we all have confidence in. In addition to that, you know, every team has offensive linemen on their practice squad, and they're available if you want to move somebody to your active roster. So there's a pool of players there. We'll look at that. We'll see where the best fit is for us, and then we'll move accordingly.
We'll be back with Saints Executive Vice President and General Manager Mickey Loomis after this. This is the Saints Hour on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valenti, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch, from the best bets to the sneaky underdogs. And of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We are talking with Saints Executive Vice President and General Manager Mickey Loomis. And this next question, oddly, does not even really focus it at all on the Saints, but because you've had one offensive fourth down attempt. But this season, and maybe I was, because I started focusing on this with Sirianni on Monday night and then now, but I've noticed it so much. And so I was kind of looking in the number of teams. Like Cleveland's gone for 11 fourth downs, Miami 10, two teams with nine, four teams with seven, four teams with six. I mean, it's, the question is, what's different? Why is it, it feels like that number is enormously high for 3 weeks of football?
Well, look, I think that that's a product of these analytics that teams are buying into now. And look, the numbers say that over time, it's an advantage to go for it in a lot of situations. And so, we have teams and coaches that buy into that and probably rightfully so. I mean, it's risk versus reward. And, you know, I think the one thing that doesn't get considered enough is, look, it's all well and good to go for it on fourth down, but do you have a play that you really love that you feel really good about it being successful as opposed to just going for it to go for it. And so, but I think it's a product of risk reward and the math and, the value of analytics.
Where are you on the use of analytics either during the week or for a game?
Yeah, look, we have some guys that do a great job in that area and, I look at it, and I think most teams look at it this way. It's a tool in the toolbox, and it's going to help you make decisions as opposed to making the decisions for you. And I think that's the way that most of the coaches in our league look at it. Is look, they want the information. Ultimately, it's their decision, and sometimes you go with that. Sometimes you go with your gut.
Kind of along those lines, but just things that kind of jump out, just broadly speaking, around the league. And it just felt like for years we have been, not you or, you know, kind of devaluing the running back and the running back, who is 29 and whatever. And now, prior to the week three games, I think there were like 40% of the plays were running plays, where like in 2019, 5 years ago, that was 33%. So it just feels like the running game is being focused on and being utilized more. Now, you guys were already planning on doing it. You've run more run plays than pass plays every game. But it just, am I right in that assessment?
Well, I think, first of all, it's early in the season. I do think that, this idea, and it's true for the most part, is that it takes a while for offenses to get going in our league, you know, because of the way that we operate in the preseason, the limited number of practices, the timing required, particularly in the pass game, that just takes time to gel oftentimes, particularly if you have, you know, a new staff, new coaches, a different quarterback, you know, different skill position people, shuffling on the O-line. It just takes time to get in sync, so to speak. So, it's easier to do that, I think, with the run game. And certainly, you know, one of the advantages of running the ball is that, look, you're controlling the clock, and the best defense is to keep the other team's offense off the field. So there's a lot goes into that. I do think that it's trending that we're getting back to the run game somewhat. But we'll see where that goes the balance of the season.
You play Atlanta, of course, on Sunday, and the bulk of your NFC South schedule is early this year. So you'll play five of your six, you play Atlanta on November 10th, and that's your last NFC South game on November 10th, week 10. until the last game of the season with Tampa. So it's very top heavy from a schedule standpoint. They're all important. Don't get me wrong. I understand that. But it is with these next two at Atlanta, and then you get Tampa and Carolina and Atlanta again. It's very top heavy this year as far as your divisional race.
Yeah, and that's unusual because I think for us, most of those NFC South games have been in the latter part of the season. And I think in general around the league, that's been the case in the last few years. I don't know how that falls for other teams and other divisions in our league this year, but that is a little bit different. And you're right, you do feel like those games count a little more because there's tiebreakers involved. There's, you know, you're standing in the division. Obviously, our first and foremost goal is to win the division. So, you know, we have a chance to you know, make some hay over that stretch.
A couple more questions. We'll take a break here. But just as you kind of look at some of the positives that you pull out of these first three games, again, it's three games, but had 10 penalties week one, 5 in week two, 3 in week three. And we've talked about the defenses being ahead of the offenses, and you've seen a lot of motion and pre-snap penalties. But that's an area that's considerably come down for this offense and this team, I should say.
Yeah, that was look, that's one of the positives that happened in this last game. I think part of that is a function of the crew that you draw because, you know, the officials, the different crew to crew, they call things some call them a little tighter than others. You know, some focus on certain areas that other ones, you know, aren't as focused on. And so from week to week, that can change, but it's a good trend to have the penalties go that direction. There's no question about it.
I know it's the 24-hour rule is the same for wins and losses, but harder to flush this loss and get it out of the system, take that Dallas win and you immediately go to the next week, is it harder to kind of get this one out of your system?
I think losses are way harder to get over than the joy that you get from wins. And maybe that's just a function of how long I've been in the league and my age, but losses are definitely tough to get over, and you replay certain plays all over in your mind, certain things that happen. And look, these games often come down to one or two or three plays. And it certainly came down to that this last weekend in a tough game against a really good team that we went, and I was proud of our guys because we went toe to toe with them. I felt like it was a really physical game. And I thought, you know, there were a lot of good things that we did. And even though we only scored 12 points, I thought there were some good things that we did on offense as well. And obviously a lot of things we've got to clean up. You know, when you score, you know, 40 plus points in the first two games, you kind of come to expect that, right? And so then when you get a game like this, 15-12, look, there's games sometimes you have to win like this. It's just the nature of the NFL. We need to find a way to win these type of games. And I believe we have a team that can do that.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valenti, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs. And of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.